Thanks, Andrew. Good afternoon, everybody. Pleasure to be here again, and especially to present a strong set of results. We are going to share the presentation with Denis and Gérald. So what I want to say as an introduction is that when we look at these earnings, the way we see them is, first, strong earnings growth per share on an underlying and an adjusted basis, which I think you understand is important for a number of things. Second point, a very strong solvency ratio. A lot of people are speaking about Solvency II, what is it going to change, and so on and so forth. I think you can see there that we are well prepared, well capitalized. Third point, we are coming towards the end of Ambition AXA, and this set of numbers is showing very clearly that we will reach the targets which we had set 5 years ago, and they were demanding targets. And the story will not stop there. We'll come back to that later. Last point, and probably a very important one for you, if you look at where is the growth, where are the earnings coming from, I think it's showing the resilience and the diversification of the AXA model, because it's coming both from mature and high growth markets. It's also starting to come, I mean, some of the growth from the digital initiatives we are taking. So let's come back to some of these numbers. Underlying earnings growth, 12% reported, 2% on a constant basis. The currency effects have been negative for years. Now, at least for one semester, they are positive. Let's enjoy them. If you look at the earnings on the comparable basis, the growth, of course, is lower. Doesn't mean that we don't think we have some resources for the future. If you look at the underlying earnings per share and at the adjusted earnings per share, as I say, double-digit growth, I think this bodes well for the dividend at the end of the at the end of the year. Solvency. The solvency ratio, because of the movements in interest rates, was down in the first quarter when compared to the end of the year. Now, with the evolution of the rates, plus the, I would say, accumulation of earnings, we are at 215 at the end of the first half, which means, once more, that we are well prepared. On the internal model approval process, we are pretty relaxed, and we think that we will get the approval pretty soon. We will share with you our capital management framework at the next analysts conference in December 2015, and you will see that we have pretty clear views on that. We are, as I said, pretty well positioned to deliver Ambition AXA at the end of the year. We've taken there four of the key indicators. Underlying earnings per share growth since the beginning, we are on track. Operating free cash flows, we will reach the 24 billion. Return on equity, we will be comfortably within the 13-15% range. You know that always for the first half, the return on equity is slightly higher than for the second half. And we are this year again above 16%. And on the debt gearing front, we are at the bottom end of the range we had decided to determine. A couple of additional points on where do we stand in terms of operational model. One of the important things you have to have in mind is the evolution of the business mix. If I look at the life and savings business, the first good thing is that APEs are growing at 5% on a constant basis, 16% on a reported basis. They are growing and the shift in mix is continuing. General account products are only representing now 12% of the total of the sales. It's important to have in mind because it showed that we are well positioned to resist any further period of low long-term interest rates, because we've been able to increase the unit-linked proportion, to increase health and protection. So continued diversification of the mix with an NBV which has been growing at 5% on a constant basis, meaning that the margins are preserved. On the P&C side, slightly more tension, and you won't be surprised by that. It's tougher to grow the revenues in this environment on a constant basis because we cannot expect as much as before from the pricing cycle. There are more competitive pressures in some markets, but nevertheless, we grow, even if it's modestly. And we grow at a level of combined ratio which keeps improving. The current year combined ratio is slightly below 97, and the all-year combined ratio is better. Denis will explain you the favorable impact the natural catastrophes had during the first half, but this is not the only reason for the satisfactory performance. In asset management, this is one of the things I think good and strong elements of the quarter. The two entities, AB and AXA IM, have solidly positive inflows, one more than the other. I mean, AXA IM is delivering a very, very strong performance for this half year. So the asset management earnings are progressing because of the growth of assets, but also because of the due to market effects, but also due to this very positive inflows. It's a reflection of a combination of two things: good investment performance and a stronger distribution footprint, even if we think that there some progress remains to be done. Cost savings, it's another element of the Ambition AXA plans. We will comfortably reach the 1.9 billion we had set up as a revised ambition for this plan at the end of the year, having achieved 200 million during the first half. So overall, three sources of growth: mature markets, and you can see that quarter after quarter, the efficiency of the capital allocation there is bearing fruit. High growth market with a focus on profitability, but also some disciplined capital reallocation. We have completed some acquisitions over the first half of the year, which are positioning us pretty well for the future. Last but not least, the digital transformation of the group, the combination of the use of digital on the distribution and service side and big data on the underwriting side, is, I think, something where we need to continue to push, because we see there the opportunity to create a competitive advantage for the group going forward. It's of course unavoidable, but the sooner you embrace it, the more efficient you are going to be going forward. If I want to illustrate with some examples this story about growth in mature and high growth markets, if you look at the performance we have delivered in health and protection and unit linked, the segments where we had decided to focus at the very beginning of this plan, the growth between 2010 and the first half of 2015 has been 8% a year in APEs. So you see that there we've been delivering. The in terms of growth in the mature markets and preparing the future, one illustration is one of the operations we've done this semester with the acquisition of Genworth. Genworth is going to position us better in the protection side of the business because it's doubling our market share in credit or insurance, positioning us as the third largest player in Europe. So we think these are things we need to do to comfort our competitive advantage in these mature markets. If we look at high growth markets, the two examples of the Chinese ventures are very telling. If you look first at the life venture with ICBC, since 2010, group share, the growth of the APEs has been 64% a year, which is a pretty decent performance. We have become the first foreign venture in China, and we are becoming a sizable Chinese player, and the business is now profitable. Second thing, AXA Tianping, it's a much more recent acquisition, but nevertheless, 20% growth rate in P&C, and we think it's a good platform to do more direct and digital business in China. Digital, I thought it would be useful to remind you what we've been doing there. What we want to do is to position us, embedding these techniques in our value chain, at each and every element of this value chain. And here we've given you some very specific examples of what the data innovation labs are doing to support and develop the business. On the acquisition front, what we are doing here, I mean, audience and consumer value targeting, using smart leads, using a better marketing segmentation. Same thing on the selection side. AXA France is having, developments done for it by the Digital Innovation Lab. On the household geo-pricing, it's another example. On the service, AXA Spain, intelligent body shop orientation, and so on and so forth. So what it means is digital is for us not just words. It's people working on very precise projects with the goal of making the value chain more efficient and developing the future model of the business. We hope, of course, it's going to bear fruit in the form of better acquisition of customers, better retention, because the service will be better and because the products will be better designed. Digital assets for AXA, very basically and very simplistically, three attitudes. Scout, we need to detect what the emerging trends are. We need to accelerate the digital awareness internally, and there is less and less defensiveness and resistance to that. And for that, we have the AXA Labs, both in San Francisco and in Shanghai, helping us understand what's going on outside, helping us convince people inside that because it's unavoidable, they should better relax and embrace it. Second thing, engage. Attracting new skills and developing talents. Learning, piloting, and implementing. It's what the data innovation labs are doing. And I've given you in the previous slide some very specific examples. Last but not least, investing. We are, of course, absolutely convinced that we are not going to do everything on our own, and that we are not going to be the only ones being successful. But because we scout the landscape, because we see things happening in fintechs, we think we are in a good position to invest in some startups which could be interesting to support our companies or creating new and disruptive business models close to our sector or in our sector. And this is the target of AXA Strategic Ventures, which is basically operating in the three key continents. So that's, very clearly the approach. And as you know, the amount of digital investments is now very, very significant within the group. We think it's important. We do not neglect the existing business. We do not intend to jeopardize it. But we think we have to be prepared for the future, and we prepare it. And now I'm going to hand over to Denis, who is going to go into the detail of these numbers.
Thank you, Henri, and good afternoon to everyone. So I'll start with the group earnings. Underlying earnings on a comparable basis up 2%. On the life side, the growth is 2%, thanks to the strong performance of the unit-linked business. On the P&C side, the improvement of the combined ratio is offset by lower investment income across the board. Asset management had a growth of 6%, which represents both higher average AUM, but also margin expansion at our asset managers, which are growing their revenue base faster than their cost base. International insurance is down 11%. Again, lower investment income, but also a slightly higher loss ratio at AXA Corporate Solutions. All in all, a good performance at plus 2. On the adjusted earnings, the growth is 3%. It's a reflection of the growth of the underlying earnings and a slightly stronger level of realized capital gains at 382 million. We are not changing the guidance for the full year, which is 300 to 500 million euros per annum. We'll probably be closer to the upper end of the range than to the lower end at the end of the year. Net income, was down 7% on a comparable basis, up 2% on a reported basis. We have a negative 411 million on interest rates hedges that do not qualify for hedge accounting. It's mostly the hedges that help us manage the duration of our debts. A large part of our sub-debt is equity from an accounting standpoint, and the hedges for duration purposes are going through the P&L, so the increase in interest rates led to a negative on this element. On the life side, now in more details, we had a growth of our new business sales of 3% in mature markets. This growth was particularly strong in Italy with AXA MPS, in France, in Japan, and in the U.S. High growth market had a growth of 12% of new business, thanks to Asia for the most part. In total, a growth of new business of 5%. The margin was stable in mature markets, slightly higher in high growth markets, and a little bit higher, 0.2 points overall. Looking now at the new business sales and margins by sub-segments and at the net flows, we have the same hierarchy of NBV margin between GA Protection and Health with a NBV margin of 54%, unit-linked with 31%, and GA Savings at 14%. We continue to stick to our words that we are focusing on protection and health and unit-linked. You see that the net flows overall have improved from 2.8 billion in the first half of last year to 5.3 billion in the first half of this year. They are positive 5.1 billion in protection and 1.6 billion in unit-linked. In unit-linked, we don't have a repeat of the GMXB buyout in the U.S., and therefore we have benefited this first half of stronger flows, and we continue to have negative flows in GA Savings in line with the strategy that we've defined 5 years ago. One more point on protection and health. The growth in APE was only 2%. This is a reflection of stronger growth in France and Asia, offset by negative growth in Switzerland. Again, we continue to, I would say, manage or control the sales of group pension in Switzerland, which is a very capital-intensive business line. Looking now at the pre-tax earnings by sub-component, you see that the growth of earnings was negative in protection and health, -3%. We had better mortality in France and the U.S., but we had an acceleration of DAC amortization in the U.S. because of change in investment assumptions and a slightly lower investment margin. GA Savings was negative 12% because of the non-repeat of a prior reserve development in France last year. Unit-linked was very strong at +32%. Both thanks to higher management fees in line with a higher asset base and higher mortality margin in the U.S. Moving now to the property casualty side, a growth of revenues of 1.4%, 2% on personal lines with average price increases of 1.9%, 0% in commercial lines with average price increases of 1.8%. This is the reflection of more active pruning, particularly in France with the construction business lines, which had been problematic for us last year. Looking now in more detail at the price evolution by country and business lines, you see that we've been able to put in significant price increases again in most geographies, more strikingly +4.6% in commercial lines in France, again, the repricing of our construction portfolio, 4.4% in personal lines in the U.K., hardening of rates in the U.K. personal lines, which is reflected in our numbers. Going forward, you see on the right-hand side of the slide that prices are relatively soft across the board, with the exception of hardening in motor in the UK, and also slight hardening in Spain on motor. But otherwise, I would say it's going to be more difficult going forward to increase prices if we want to maintain our exposures. On the revenues and margins by market in P&C, I'm on slide A29. You see that in mature markets, the growth of revenues was 0% because of the pruning actions I mentioned. We've improved the current year combined ratio by 0.8 point to 96%. High growth market, the growth of revenues was 4%, 6% in Asia. We saw a deterioration of the combined ratio to 99.9, mainly attributable to Turkey and to a lesser extent to Mexico. The direct business has had a solid growth of 7% and improved its combined ratio by close to a point to 98.8. Overall, our combined ratio, current year combined ratio, improved slightly to 96.9. Looking at the development of our combined ratio, you can notice a few elements. The natural catastrophe element is significantly smaller than in the first half of last year at 0.1 against 1.7. We had the positive price increases that I mentioned earlier, higher claim severity, so our claim costs have increased, and we also had better prior reserve development at 1.8 points against 1.3 last year, translating all in all in a 95.1 combined ratio compared to 95.8 last year. Offsetting, as I mentioned earlier, this better combined ratio, investment income went down 7% with an annualized investment yield of 3.7% against 4.2. There was an exceptional positive last year in France with exceptional dividends of 67 million, which makes the drop more important than it would have been otherwise. Moving to asset management, you can see that the picture is quite positive, with net flows of 28 billion euros at AXA Investment Managers, of which 19 billion from the joint ventures in Asia, and of that, 18 billion coming from our joint venture with SPDB in China. The flows other than the joint ventures are still positive, 9 billion, which is an indication of the strong investment performance and good distribution that we have in AXA IM. Average AUM, excluding the joint ventures, have gone up 11%, and revenues are up 8%. On AB, net flows are also positive at 7 billion, compared to 3 billion last year. Average AUM growing by 6% and revenues by 5%. All in all, you see a growth of the earnings in asset management of 6%, 7% at AXA IM, 5% at AB. Thank you very much for your attention. I now hand over to Gérald for the balance sheet. Thank you.
Thank you, Denis. Good afternoon. So our asset allocation didn't change. So that means that, roughly speaking, we have 83% in fixed income, with 42 in govies, 33 in corporate bonds. Our investment in listed equities are at 4%, and alternative investment, i.e. private equity and hedge funds, is 3%. We still manage a very long duration, 7.7 years in life and savings, and 5 years for PNC. I remind you that our duration gap still remains at around 1 year. You can see at the bottom right that in life and savings, our investment yield is still at 3.7%, but in line with what we presented to you in February, we can expect to have some dilution coming from a lower from investment at a lower rate, and in PNC we moved down from 3.1 to 3.7%. The in-force book of business, starting first with a resilient investment margin. Our investment margin is moved down by 1 basis point from 79 to 78 basis points in the low end of our range, And this is possible due to, just have a look at the left-hand side, we have a significant spread above the guaranteed rates with investment yield at 3.7 and guaranteed rates at 2.1, giving us some flexibility. On new business, it's the same picture. That means that we have been reinvesting in life at 2.1%, but we are giving an average guarantee of 0.5, 50 basis points only. It should be mentioned that we are selling only general accounts in association with unit-linked business, and mostly it's we are dealing here with hybrid sales. About the investment, we have been investing 28 billion in the first half in fixed income, and you can see that it's mostly in investment grade credit at 54%. We slightly benefited from the slightly higher spreads, and we have been investing 32% in government bonds, below investment grade at 10%, representing 10% of these 28 billion, correspond mostly to short-term high yield product. You can see on the top right that we have been investing on average at 2%, 2.3 in the Eurozone, 2.8 in the US, and by definition at low rates in Japan and Switzerland. Shareholders' equity, it went up by 1.7 billion from 65.2 to 66.9. And you can see on the right-hand side that the first three movements, the first three elements explain most of the movement, starting first with the Forex movement, because we have a lot of our assets which are denominated in other currencies than in euros, especially in Swiss francs, in dollars, in British pounds, 3.4 billion positive. Net income for the period, 3.1 billion positive. The change in net unrealized gains was negative, minus 2, explained by on average rates creeping up by 20 basis points and with some a slight widening of the spreads, and dividends that we paid, the 95 cents that we paid in May, minus 2.3. Debt gearing, it's the net debt moved up from 13.5 to 14.1 billion, mostly explained by Forex effect. And you can see that, as explained by Henri before, the debt gearing is down from 24% to 23%, and the interest coverage improved from 9.9 times to 11.9. Last, on economic solvency, our economic solvency improved from 201 to 215%. And you can see at the bottom of the graph that in the roll forward that the operating return explains most of the movement, and you can expect that on a quarterly basis the operating return is between 5 and 6 points. We have some market effects, small market effects, and the three points you have the FX effect. You can see on the top right that we are still sensitive to the interest rates. For the rest, for equities it's less important, same for corporate bonds. For corporate spreads. I hand over to Henri for the conclusion.
Merci. Thanks, Gérald. The conclusion will be brief. The first point is insisting on the continuous delivery. I mean, you see that we've been able to deliver profitable growth despite an environment which has not always been easy, especially on the life side, and that the balance sheet is definitely a strong one. Second point on the first half earnings, you can see what the benefits of diversification are, including, I mean, the currency effect. It's a secondary effect of the diversification. You can see the resilience to low rates. 2 years ago, many of your questions were centered around, are you going to be able to sustain a protracted period of low interest rates in the life business? And I think we show with the change in the mix, with the margins, with the progression in earnings, that yes, we are. Solvency II is now nearly a non-event for us. Going forward, I think Ambition AXA is more or less becoming the past. We will focus on the next plan, which is going to be presented to you around the end of the first half next year in June. I remain very confident because we have multiple sources of growth. The model is very well diversified between life and asset management, health and protection, property casualty, the geographies. We now have a solid footprint in the emerging countries, and we have optimized operations in the mature countries. And last but not least, I think we are starting to create real digital assets for the group, which should, in the long run, help us support a decent level of growth. So this is what I wanted to share with you at this stage. I'm sure you'll have plenty of questions.